Let's pull together what is known about the San Bernardino shooting, starting with a man who knows something of the two suspects. Earlier this morning, we reached Hussam Elouch.
He's with the Council on American-Islamic Relations in Los Angeles, which guided the suspects' family members through a short press conference yesterday. This morning, he talked with us about suspects Syed Rizwan Farouk and Tashfeen Malik.
They've been married for 2 years. They have a six-month-old baby girl whom they left with the mother. You know, according to the family, they had a good life. He had a good job. They're shocked by his actions. They're mourning with everybody else, and they wanted to make sure people heard that.
Now, there's a very sensitive question here, which invites people to jump to conclusions. So let's just stress here, I'm asking this simply to get the facts and not saying what they mean. They're both Muslims. They were both Muslims. Is that correct?
They were both Muslims, yes.
Is there any sense of what strand of that faith they were, whether they were particularly conservative or not?
You know, I'm very active at the various mosques in the area, and I don't remember seeing him. He's definitely not one of the prominent active ones, not on the board, not in the community. Obviously, the family seems to be moderately religious, but no signs of any fanaticism, extremism, as far as I could tell from the ones that I met. Again, I would also remind everyone that we don't know the motives yet. You know,
yeah.
This could be, you know, a workplace rage. It could be a result of something, mental instability, or it could be some twisted ideological belief. Either way, there's absolutely no justification. And all American Muslims, including the family of Rizwan Farouk, express their solidarity, their condolences to the families and loved ones of the injured and the killed there.
And just to gather information, and as you correctly note, not assigning motive because we do not know at this time, did either of them, according to their family members, have any particular political leanings at all?
No, they didn't seem like. I asked that question. But as far as the family knew, there were no strong political or religious views either way.
That's Hussam Elouch speaking earlier today. He's with the Council on American-Islamic Relations, giving us some information about the suspects. NPR Justice correspondent Carrie Johnson has also been gathering information from her sources, including, as we learned today, Carrie, the fact that there is a third, not suspect, but person of interest here.
Well, we do know that federal law enforcement believes all four weapons, the two assault-style rifles and two handguns the suspects, the two dead suspects, had on hand, were purchased legally, but I'm told by sources that at least two of those weapons may have been purchased by a third party. So investigators are in touch with that individual now. Not clear any crime was committed. It could have been a legal sale and then gift, but yet one of many investigative threads they're pursuing day today.
And the biggest mystery here is why?
Motive. And we're at cross purposes here, given the information we have. We know one of the suspects worked at that site, and so that may lean toward a workplace-related matter. But as we heard authorities say, they are not ruling out terrorism either. Lots of open questions.
Carrie, we also heard from President Obama this morning. His remarks make it clear just how uncertain motive is at a very high level.
It is possible that this was terrorist-related, but we don't know. It's also possible that this was workplace-related.
NPR's Mara Liasson was at the White House. Mara, you were there when the president made these remarks. What does he want to do about this?
Well, the president wants to pass gun control measures, gun safety laws, and he's wanted to for quite a long time. After every one of these shootings, he calls for tougher background checks, common sense measures he thinks have popular support but can't get through the Congress, and he called for them again. I mean, he gave his sympathies to the victims. He said, we don't know the motives for this attack, but he said that everybody has to do their part. We can't just leave it to law enforcement.
What do you think the prospects for gun control might be? Do you think that an event we've had layers and layers of these kinds of events, and so far nothing has happened except in a few states?
That's right. States have taken the lead here. I don't think the prospects for gun control measures in this Congress have improved at all. I don't think anything's going to change there. What I think is interesting, though, is the kind of frustration that's building inside the what you could call the pro-gun control camp. There was a real backlash against the thoughts and prayers stance of a lot of Republicans and Democrats, too, are issuing tweets saying my thoughts and prayers are with the families. But some Democrats are pretty angry at that. Chris Murphy, the Democratic senator from Connecticut, tweeted, "Your thoughts should be about steps to take to stop this carnage. Your prayers should be for forgiveness if you do nothing again." So I think there is a tremendous amount of frustration in people who support gun control. The Daily News, which is the more liberal New York tabloid's front page, said, "God isn't fixing this." And cowards who could end gun scourge continue to hide behind meaningless platitudes. Pretty, so you've really got a lot of frustration here.
Pretty devastating headline. I want to ask a question about tone, though, Mara-Lyce. And sometimes when the president has spoken on this, he sounded quite angry, overtly angry. Very restrained tone this morning, speaking very quietly, somberly, simply saying it is too easy for people to commit offenses like that. Do you think that is just chance or taking a different approach?
Well, I think that sometimes the president is angry. He's super frustrated, and sometimes that's come through in his remarks. What he isn't, that I've never heard the tone at least, is resigned. He keeps on talking about, we can't let this become normal. We can't just get used to this, as if this is something that just happens. But he was somber. The situation is still ongoing in California, and I think, you know, that was appropriate. But yes, in the past, he has shown flashes of real frustration. Some people would say anger.
Let me just bring in one more voice in the moment we have left. NPR's Phil Ewing covers national security. And Phil, I want to ask what national security agencies do in a situation like this, where, as far as we know, nobody knows what the motive is, nobody knows who it's connected to. How do they respond?
Well, as we heard Kerry talk about earlier, it's going to be a very painstaking investigation. They're not only going to do a forensic investigation at these crime scenes to look at shell casings, blast patterns, and so forth and so on, but also the social media that these people were using to try and find a pattern, to try to establish a motive after the fact. One case that this brings to mind is the shooting in Chattanooga earlier this year, in which that person had been in the U.S. for a long time, but all of a sudden took this terrorist action and no one knows why.
And then the question is why. Okay, thanks very much. That's NPR's national security editor, Phil Ewing. We also heard from our White House correspondent, or rather national political correspondent, Mara-Lyce, as well as NPR's justice correspondent, Kerry Johnson, on this morning as we're continuing to track the San Bernardino shooting.